وما كانت من الخسيات من عند شلاكة تكشور النيل تامين التسمى الشيخ الرحيم.
I have to speak of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, this first canto, first chapter, text number one. The text and purport is full of so much important subject. This only we could discuss for weeks and months and years. Now, even today's, the paragraph I read today, such important instruction. That was from the paragraph I read yesterday. There was also one very important point which I wanted to discuss. So I read that at the end of the previous paragraph. But in the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vallabha Acharya, and many other distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And a serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental messages. Prabhupada is giving his commentary on the Bhagavatam. He is recommending that one also read the commentaries of the previous acharyas. He specifically mentioned Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vallabha Acharya. There have been many others who have given their commentaries on the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada used to travel with a very big book, Sanskrit book, which is the text of the Bhagavatam, and the commentaries, 12 or 13 famous commentaries. There are many, maybe more than 50 commentaries. But he would travel that book with 12 or 13 of the famous Sanskrit commentaries, and he also carried the commentary of his own Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in Bengali. So each verse, he would read all those commentaries, then he would select some points which Krishna inspired him to present in his Bhaktivedanta purports, and he would also present his own realization in a manner exactly suitable for man at the present time and for the next 10,000 years. So Prabhupada is also recommending we can go through these other commentaries also. However, we always recommend that devotees first they study Prabhupada's books very carefully, seriously, thoroughly. And that, we're talking about studying carefully, seriously, and thoroughly, means one reading is not enough. To read through Prabhupada's books once, and well, even to read through once, will take a long time. That's true. But if we steadily study Srimad Bhagavatam, I think if we read it myself, if I can average 1 hour a day, then within 1.5 to 2 years, I go through the whole Bhagavatam. That I went through several times, 6 or 7 times, I lost count how many times. That's up to the 10th canto, because Prabhupada, the 11th canto and 12th canto came later. Now I'm reading the 11th canto again. So much important instructions in the 11th and 12th cantos also. So if we go through steadily, then gradually, we'll go through. We'll read. But even reading one time, you should read several times to get feel of the subject matter, to become familiar with the subject matter. Reading once, we'll get some idea of that. Reading more times, we become familiar with it, how the stories develop, unfold. I remember when the early days of the movement, of course, when I joined, up to 4th canto had been published. And then 5th canto, that didn't come, even not all the 4th canto was published. And each book would come one by one. And the devotee is very eager to see. We didn't even know what's in the book. They're very eager to see what Prabhupada has written, what is the subject matter. So books were coming, one by one, and the devotees were reading, and at that time, devotees naturally they didn't have so much knowledge as they have now. You'll find at least Prabhupada disciples, those who remain steady in the movement, mostly they all have pretty good dharma. Means they're different levels, but they all have a good grasp of what is in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the subject matter? Well, there are so many points. I can't remember all of them, but you'll find that devotees have a good, those who have studied several times, I've been through it several times, so a good grasp of what is the basic subject matter. Then, another phenomenon which happened in our movement is that devotees started to translate other books. Now, Prabhupada, you'll find just like here, he's recommending, read the Prabhupada's of the previous acharya. Actually, by reading Prabhupada's books, You get what the previous acharyas have said. Because he's only presenting nothing else. He's not presenting any speculation or imagination. And regularly you'll see him quoting Vishwacharya-Thakura, Bhaktisthansacharya-Thakura, Madhvacharya, Gira-Raghava-Acharya, Bhukaswami, Sanatana Goswami. Regularly he's quoting him. Prabhupada said, by reading my books, you get in touch with the previous acharyas.
But I actually
Parampara is there. That if you accept a guru in the Parampara, then all the other previous acharyas, you become linked with them. That you accept them all as your guru, because they're all teaching the same thing. So, that you already get, and Prabhupada, in his commentaries, he has recommended that when he was personally present, he was also warning devotees, don't try to jump over your Guru Maharaj. Don't think I'll read this and I'll read that and then I don't need to read what Prabhupada has written. That was some kind of disease on devotee in Vrindavan. Because he had some knowledge of Hindi and Sanskrit, he used to go to different lectures by different Goswamis, so-called Goswamis in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was not very favorable about this because it's very difficult to find someone who's exactly in the parampara, who's exactly presenting the correct message. Practically speaking, I have a lot of familiarity with different scholars and devotees, even in our Gaudiya Vaishnava life, and even Prabhupada's godbrothers and disciples of his godbrothers have spoken with many of them, different, just in meeting them here, because traveling in Bengal I used to meet them sometimes for research purposes, different things I used to meet and discuss. But practically I don't find anyone who's got exactly that preciseness as Prabhupada has given. Even I was reading the other day one book which was made from, actually he didn't write it, but it's taken from his recordings of his conversations of one of Prabhupada's godbrothers who some of our godbrothers, they've taken him as practically their guru even more than Prabhupada for some reason or other. I don't know why I should do this. But anyway, not as matter of condemning, because we're certainly not in any position to do so. But I couldn't help but noticing he was discussing about Rahu. So he said that now we can't reject modern science. Modern science has given so much evidence. So Rahu, we accept that as not literally that Rahu is eclipse of the moon or the sun, is that Rahu is swallowing. But that Rahu represents the shadow of the moon. Now, this is Prabhupada, he never said such a thing. He said, the story is there in Bhagavatam, or Rahu, he had his head chopped off. So we may not be able to understand. But that doesn't mean that we have to accept modern scientists' idea. The modern scientists, they say one thing, and after some time they'll say something else. Prabhupada, he never, he said, maybe the people who went to the moon, they didn't go to the moon. He said, if they went anywhere, maybe they went to Rahu. And most probably they went to the Arizona desert. It was all filmed in the Arizona desert. So, and actually there's one book like that. One man who was involved with the space project, he said, actually it was all filmed in, not Arizona, the next state, Nevada. So he blew the whistle, as they said. He exposed them. So Prabhupada already guessed them. You don't understand. Because the scientists were saying that the moon is, the soil we brought back from the moon, it's surprisingly like the soil in the Arizona desert, the Prabhupada said, just see. It's actually, they never went anywhere, it's in the Arizona desert. The soil they brought is from Arizona, not from the moon. It's you caught them, it's just like that, the thief. So if someone comes to his home at night, he's been outside, the house is all locked up. Then he hears some movement inside the house, comes back at night. He says, hey, is anyone in there? And the voice comes from inside, I'm not stealing anything. No one asked him if he's stealing. But he himself is, I'm not stealing. He's admitting by denying. So anyway, there was that. And then there was another interview with this revered Swamiji, who's one a student of philosophy from America. Student, not a scholar, just an undergraduate student. He was brought to him and he said, well, what kind of philosophy are you studying? And he said, then he said, have you heard of Hegel? And Hegel, his philosophy is like Eastern philosophy. He talks about, where's that word he used? Panentheism. He said, which is not the same as pantheism. But it means that you accept God is in everything, but still he has his own separate personality. So he said, his philosophy is quite good, it's quite close to other. In other words, he was discussing philosophy with him in a general way. But I noticed the difference with Prabhupada. The Prabhupada, he wouldn't just discuss what this, he would say, all right, this is the correct thing. What is your philosophy? Okay, this is all, this is wrong, this is wrong. So you have to accept Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If not, why not? What's the problem? So they're completely different. Prabhupada would preach, defeat whatever wrong ideas they have, and give them the right idea. And he wouldn't compromise anything. Rahu is the shadow of the moon. We have to accept modern science. Not at all. Prabhupada just the opposite. He said, modern scientists kick them in the face with boots. If they say, especially this idea, they said, in future we shall show life. And Prabhupada's response to that was, kick them in the face with boots. He goes, just bluffing. Just cheating. That's not science. In the future we shall find out. We don't have any evidence now, but in the future. But this is total rascal. That's not science. Science means show. What's good? You show something. A demonstration. Not that in the future. And in the meantime, you say life comes from matter. In the meantime we see every day life comes from life. Living father and mother, they can conceive a child. Not dead, not the stone or the wood. This cannot conceive. So like this, Prabhupada, he was establishing Krishna consciousness by preaching and giving the right point. And he didn't accept anything which is contrary to the Vedic principles. And his guru also, he didn't accept anything which was against the principles given by Rupa Goswami. He didn't compromise, even slightly. This is meaning of Acharya. He doesn't compromise. So this was why Prabhupada, he was very concerned that you shouldn't hear from people, even they may be big scholars. They know so much Sanskrit and they can give this commentary and that commentary, but they don't have that full faith in Krishna. Without that full faith in Krishna, even if you have so much brains, so much big, big intelligence, then you cannot understand the subject matter. At some point, you'll make some compromise. You won't accept it fully. Just like I say, Rahu is not a planet, actually. It's just the shadow of the moon. Because you have to compromise with modern science. So the Catholic Church, they decided we have to compromise with modern science. We have to interpret the Bible according to modern science. Well, they have no, anyone who's spiritually interested, they can't follow them. Modern science itself, people are so, it's so surprising that even the Catholic Church, which is supposed to be theistic, they have such faith in modern science, and even the scientists themselves, they don't agree on anything practically. The only thing they agree on is that the main body of scientists is that we all want to accept that we had some conference on the origin of the universe. And the first proposal they made at this conference, that we won't even discuss any possibility of a transcendental cause. Why not? Because they're demons, that's right. Of course, some scientists, they also accept that, but they don't have any knowledge of who is God. So anyway, the point, Prabhupada was very cautious about reading so many different things. He was very cautious. At the same time, he said we should. So how do we understand? The point is we should be reading Prabhupada's books thoroughly. And not reading academically, but reading with the mood of surrender. That, Saravam eta britam manye yammam vadisi keshava. In Bhagavad Gita we see that Arjuna said to Krishna, that whatever you say, Krishna, I accept fully. Not that, well, that was a pretty nice thing you said, Krishna, but I don't really believe it. Sounded pretty good, good poetry, but I've got a better idea. Oh, yes, Krishna, I must admit you're a good philosopher, but I still don't think you're right. No, you just accept Krishna and what he says is correct. If Krishna says that he is the source of everything, then he's the source of everything. And similarly, with the Acharya, if he says like this, or a Shastra says so many things. Lord Shiva is sitting under a banyan tree, which is 1 million yojanas high and 1 million yojanas wide. It means 8 million miles up, 8 million miles wide. So they're in the Bhagavatam. So do you believe it or why not? Why should we not believe it? I haven't seen a tree like that. Maybe if you tell an ant that we have a skyscraper building 100 stories high, and he's built a nest this big, he won't believe it. Who cares for the ant? Here am I sitting on this little planet, and I don't believe. Who are you? You ask him. You don't believe. Who cares for you? I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter whether you believe or not. We're going to meet him at the time of death. Not directly, you're going to meet his representative, Yamaraj. And he'll show you that God exists. So you believe or... I don't believe in Yamaraj. It doesn't matter. You believe or not believe. You have an appointment with him. You have to go. You can't avoid. You have to go. So, we simply accept what our acharyas have given. They're not fools and rascals like you. Madhyacharya, he's not a rascal. Huh? Ramanujacharya, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, he only taught us very simple things. But now we have to discover something more deep. This is a widespread rascaldom which is preached by those who can't preach anything else. Those who have no power to preach all over the world, they like to preach that we are great scholars. Prabhupada is not a great scholar. We are great scholars, and he was making good propaganda, because he was a businessman previously, so he knew how to do these things, he knew how to make advertisement. But if you really want the inner essence, you have to come to us, because we're living in Vrindavan all these years, and we know what is actually the essence. So actually, first thing they're trying to say, they're a great scholar, and Prabhupada isn't. So what is the evidence? Prabhupada wrote so many books, which are accepted by scholars all over the world. Who has written any books which are written by scholars anywhere in the present Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition? Who has written any books which are accepted by those who are known as scholars? Nobody, only Prabhupada. Then, the idea that one is more advanced because he sits in Vrindavan. Actually, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself thought, Kirtan Prabhade Shmarana Haibe Papana Nirjana Shambhu. He says, only after you've preached extensively is it possible to sit and simply chant. He says, otherwise if you try to do that, it will be simply cheating. Dushtamantami kise Vaishnav, Patishta Tare Nirjana Tare Toma Hare Naam Keva Kaita. He says that, my dear mind, why are you telling me just to sit in one place and chant? Why are you doing that? Simply you want to get a reputation as being a great saintly person, that's all. Therefore you're chanting, it's simply cheating. But this Sanskrit Thakur was so heavy. He was so strong. So he was fighting. He showed what does it mean to be a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not simply ringing a bell. Ding, 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 ding in the temple. But one should be fighting for Krishna. That is the real mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To defeat all the wrong ideas and establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, reading the commentaries, yes. We should read. There's so many books. Prabhupada, he said one time, that this Vedic literature or Vaishnava literature, especially, he said that it's so vast that if you sat down today and you read one book, and you read another book, and you read another book, in your lifetime you can't finish. There's so many books. So many books. At the same time, Prabhupada said that for our preaching purposes, 4 books are sufficient. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Nectar of Devotion, and Srimad Bhagavatam. He said these 4 books are sufficient. Even in Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the introduction, Prabhupada says that even this one book is sufficient to understand everything and go back home back to Godhead. Even for preaching, Prabhupada said even Bhagavad Gita itself, that is sufficient. Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, these books are sufficient. That knowledge we're getting from Prabhupada, he's presented. That is sufficient to know, what are we preaching? We're not this body, the eternal spirit soul, the servant of Krishna, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore we should serve. So this is sufficient, but the books of the previous acharyas are there also. When one becomes actually advanced, then he can study the books of the Goswamis especially, which describe the pastimes of Krishna in some detail. When one is feeling some attraction to him, not sentimental attraction. Nor should one think, if one thinks, now I've become so advanced, now I can read these other books, I don't need to read these books. That's for less advanced devotees. then you immediately become a rascal. And even if you can quote so many different things, you're not going to make any spiritual advancement. Simply, your reading is making offenses, that's all. Because you're building up an offensive mentality. This which Prabhupada was very afraid of. He was warning us against. Don't be puffed up. You're so good. But if one is actually in that, so much developed, then he may do it. But that also privately, not that one advertises. Now I've become a great premi bhakta. Anyone who's advertising like that, you can immediately understand that he's not a premi bhakta, he simply wants some name and fame. Because who's a real premi bhakta? He doesn't advertise. I'm so great, I'm so wonderful, I'm so advanced, I'm absorbed in rasa, in bhava. He doesn't. Confidentially, quietly, to himself. Then another thing, reading outside of Prabhupada's books. When one is quite fixed up in reading Prabhupada's books, then he may read some other things for the purpose of what, for preaching purposes also. But sometimes, in some, although Prabhupada in his books, he's covered all the main points thoroughly, and all the different objections that come up. I know myself, in Bengal, there were some there misinterpretations of Chaitanya Bhagavata, which people, widespread and common, people would take to use to show that some rascal nonsense is an incarnation of God, or you don't have to chant Hare Krishna. So I read Chaitanya Bhagavata, and read the relevant sections, and what Bhakti stands up for. Take it and claim it. What Bhakti stands up for, talk what it said in the purports, and then I, because obviously it's misinterpreted, it's not at all true, what nonsense they're saying. So, when I was armed with that specialized knowledge, then if people said this, I'd say, okay, what's the shloka in Chaitanya Bhagavata? And of course they wouldn't know. Then I would quote it and give the proper explanation, so that you may do it. Similarly, in the modern age, much of our preaching is among those who are falsely enamored by science. So some of our devotees especially, they have knowledge of science, or they develop some knowledge to meet such people and speak with them on their terms. So there may be different extracurricular reading. But our base, our life, that is coming through the parampara, through Srila Prabhupada, that we should know very clearly. That even we can't understand Vishnu Chadwar Thakur or Jiva Goswami if we think that we can understand independently of Srila Prabhupada and what he has taught us. If we think, I'll jump up, I read all the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'll go directly to Jiva Goswami. I can understand his readings too. But we won't understand anything. Prabhupada is the representative of all the acharyas. Whatever they wanted to teach, whatever Krishna wanted to teach to the people in the modern age, he has taught through Srila Prabhupada. It's not that there's anything which is not in Prabhupada's books that will help us to go to acquire. It's not that there's anything which is not in Prabhupada's books which we have to acquire, which will help us to become more developed. Rather, they are, Prabhupada used an example and said, I've given the foundation. Now, what is it? I've given the basis, now you develop. He was talking about our movement. So everything is there. Everything we need to know for going back to Godhead, and everything we need to know for our preaching purposes also, is in Prabhupada's books. But for, you can say, for embellishment, or the works of the acharyas, they are sacred works. So for to get more spiritual enthusiasm, we can read these books. But our basis, books are the basis, Prabhupada said. Particularly, that means Prabhupada's books. So then you may ask, well, I'm saying this, and I'm sitting in all day and writing books. So why am I writing books? But that also, that is meant as a supplement to what is in Prabhupada's books. Not that you have something to read there which you can't get from Prabhupada's books. We're just like collecting Prabhupada's instructions on different things and presenting them in a systematic way. Just like that Brahmacharya book, you can see so many things in Prabhupada's books about that. And even Prabhupada gave many verbal instructions or in letters. So collecting them all together, where? This subject. If we're going to discuss this subject, you can see what is there. Our beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness, that's just what Prabhupada taught us, but it's not written down, many of those things. So, this Prabhupada, of course, he told disciples, especially sannyasis, should write books. It's not that writing books is finished. I had even said that my disciples will write purports on my books. So that will go on. Writing is an important function of our parampara. Even the reading that Shikshastika every day. What does Prabhupada say about this? Oh, it's not included here. But in our Iskam song book, it said, Prabhupada gives an introduction, says that Lord Chaitanya, he told his followers to write books about Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says the elaborations and expositions by the Vaishnava Acharya, I can't remember exactly the words, he said they are the most elaborate of any tradition due to the system of disciplic succession. He says, and that is continuing. Lord Chaitanya told his followers to write books, a tradition which is continuing to the present day. So that writing should go on, but the point is, we have to keep directly in line, not going off on a tangent, or not trying to minimize Prabhupada. Now I'm writing my own books. Or now I can read in Sanskrit and I've seen some books. And Prabhupada, there are so many gurus and Prabhupada was just another guru. And I'm also writing books, so I'm as good as Prabhupada. You may wonder why I'm saying this, because definitely some foolish people have got such attitudes. They're writing books and one book I saw, someone has written, and said that we've quoted Prabhupada's Bhagavatam to support the Siddhantas given in this book. But Prabhupada, his book is only good for supporting your Siddhanta, what you are presenting, you rascal. But Prabhupada has done a great job, but now I'm presenting the real Siddhanta, and Prabhupada's book supports that. What rascal? He's saying that Prabhupada's book should support what he is saying. Rather, he should illuminate what Prabhupada is, he said. Not that Prabhupada's book is just some kind of reference book. Rather, his book may be some reference book to elaborate on some points which Prabhupada has given, not round the other way. So you see, generally, someone who becomes a scholar, they become puffed up. That we always see. So, scholar we may become. But we should always consider ourselves simply servant of the servant, Kandara Charana Shagi Bhakti Shanivas, the servant of the servant of those who are following in the line of the six Goswamis. Not that now I myself, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and me. Now, here I am, folks. I'm the solution to all the problems of the world. If you really want to know Krishna consciousness, come to me. If you think like that, kindly get one capsule of potassium cyanide and drop it in your mouth. Don't talk any nonsense. One advice you'll give the siblings. Of course they won't take it. They'll just go on talking so much nonsense. And I've read Jiva Goswami said this and Sanatana Goswami said this. And I think it's different to what Prabhupada said, so Prabhupada must be wrong because my opinion is obviously I'm a better scholar than Prabhupada because Prabhupada only wrote simple things for beginners. So it's kind of attitude. That means why is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's very boring. You bring it all the time. Let's make something new. If I go around this time, Hare Krishna. What? Alright, Krishna makes the gopis. Alright, let's dress up as a gopi. And talk in a voice like this. And smoke beans. Become a gopi. You don't become a gopi like that. Oh, so many funny things. Let it stick. Exactly. Don't make false arguments. All right, any question? Yes.
Prabhupada, his mind work is invited and also a lot of
Bhagavad Gita and Nectar of Devotion, these four books.
Also a lot of small books. Yeah, more important.
Most of those small books are based on Prabhupada's lectures, actually. They're edited from Prabhupada's lectures, like Perfection of Yoga, Topmost Yoga System, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers, and Life Comes from Life. They're based upon conversations. Then that Second chant, that's also based on lectures. So many of these small books, Raja Vidya, that's also based on lectures. On the Way to Krishna, it's based on lectures. So I usually recommend in the beginning, it's small books where it may be easier to understand. Now actually some of the small books, they're not so easy. If you read that Beyond Birth and Death, in the very beginning Prabhupada starts out comparing Buddhist and Mayavad misconceptions of impersonalism. It's not very, it may not be so easy. So all Prabhupada's books are important. In the beginning, that book, Science of Sage Self-Realization, this is very good for helping people to, it's Prabhupada discussing all different things that people know from the material world. So it kind of brings you from the material to the spiritual. But any of the books, Bhagavad Gita as it is very important to understand, that we should read. Although often it's difficult, no doubt it's difficult, that we can't understand actually unless we have devotees to help us, unless it's explained to us. There's even the language, Prabhupada uses three modes of material nature, super soul, conditioned soul. What does it mean? You don't find these terms anywhere else. That's only in Prabhupada's books, because there's no word in English language for Paramatma. So Prabhupada gives the word super soul. What does it mean? It has to be explained. So, all the books are important. You should study them all. But Bhagavad Gita as it is, if we can thoroughly understand that, that is the basis on which you will understand the other books. Who will decide? Different people will get different opinions.
Is one people not
in our society also? One of our godbrothers, at least he's initiated by Prabhupada, he regularly brings out books which are full of the most rascal nonsense things. What is this? He was describing, Lord Chaitanya was howling. Howling is what a dog does. And he writes, the late A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, when he was dead. So many nonsense things. Then he's interviewing some scholars, and this scholar, he's like, he asks him, what do you think about Srila Bhagavatam? And the scholar, so-called scholar, says, well, what can I say? It was a great contribution, no doubt. And then he goes on to point out all the mistakes. But he said, I can't agree with his translation of some different words, just like modern research shows that the word lula shouldn't be translated as pastime. It's not actually a correct translation. And he criticizes him so many things. And then this so-called great scholar says, supposed to be God brother, says, alright, then goes on to the next question. Now, he's just blasphemed your spiritual master, but his main life's work, translating the Srimad Bhagavatam, he didn't do it properly. He didn't know how to translate properly. Alright, then he goes on to the next question. And publishes it in the book. In another interview, some supposed to be expert on the Ramayana. So, he's a mundane scholar. So he writes, this guy, he says that, when you get to the Aranyakanda, it gets like a Walt Disney film. You have hobgoblins and ghosts and rakshasas, and then it's supposed to be Vaishnava. Instead of refuting and saying, oh, this is a fact, you believe it or not believe it, Ramayana is not fairy tale. He makes a joke with him. Well, I think even Walt Disney would be envious of that. And then he puts in bracket, laughter. So he's agreeing with the most rascal, blasphemous things. And this is published as a book. And then we wonder why our devotees, they're so weird sometimes. They dream up so many funny ideas. I have no idea. Wherever I go, I tell, take this book out of your bookshop. Don't sell it. But this funny, everything's okay, and different opinions, and that's Bhakti Vikas Swami, he's just a fundamentalist, and he's just an extremist. Everyone should have their own opinion, and everything's all right, everything's good, and doesn't matter whether you go to Mangalati or not. If you can't follow the principles fully, at least you try follow two or two and a half or something. Try and follow. And, we have to be practical and realistic and don't be too heavy. All I can say is that who has such attitudes? I don't mean they're reading Prabhupada's books. Because Prabhupada, he doesn't compromise on any of these things. Then we'll end up with another, what do you, what the Hindu people say, Bhaktivedanta Swami did a great job of spreading Hinduism all over the world. So now they're all becoming Hindus. Everything's all, it's all good, you should just love Krishna, but you don't have to serve. I love Krishna in my heart, but I don't do anything in service of Krishna. I just love him in my heart, that's all. As far as following any of his instructions, well, no, that's just for neophyte devotees who, they're just struggling and they don't really understand, but those who are really advanced, they all, just like me, I always think of Krishna in my heart and therefore I don't have to follow any of the principles of chanting. I watch television and I have six girlfriends, but I love Krishna in my heart, so those who are, I'm spontaneous, and those who don't understand, now they're just following all these rules and regulations, that's for neophytes. So they become rascals in the name of Krishna consciousness. So we should be very careful. Those who are sincere, they will appreciate what is the real thing. And those who want to be cheated, they'll find out. Oh, very nice. Someone has written a very nice book about how you love Krishna spontaneously, intimate pastimes, and blaspheme Prabhupada. And this preaching is only for neophytes and so many rascal things. We should be very careful. We should follow strictly as Prabhupada has given us. Yes, Prabhupada is the direct representative of Krishna, there's no doubt. And all the others, what are they doing? Simply sitting. All right, they're sitting, maybe chanting Hare Krishna, but they don't have the authority that Prabhupada has to speak. Prabhupada has told us to work hard in the Sankirtan movement. Kick out. Prabhupada has told us we should break all the wrong ideas, defeat the scientists. These defeating scientists, I tell you, one devotee, just our Vasaraj Prabhu, he's studying quantum theory. By studying that, he's preaching to scientists and changing their mind. And others, they're sitting and speculating and reading some intimate gopi lila. What Vasaraj is reading of quantum theory is millions of times more pleasing to Krishna than this artificial reading of gopi lila. Why? He's reading to defeat them, which is the work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he will, by preaching like this, by studying the wrong theory and defeating it, he will change the mind of the scientists. Of course, there are other devotees also who will make a big contribution in that. And then, the scientists who are misleading people so much, that will make the atmosphere good for spreading Krishna consciousness. That is more important. That is, how do we become advanced? By pleasing the acharya. Not by artificially imagining ourselves to be advanced. This is the secret. What did Prabhupada quote again and again this week? That he's quoting from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which was, this was practically the motive of Prabhupada's life. Prabhupada's whole life was based upon this one statement, which he read, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the Gita, which he himself quoted in his Bhagavad Gita program. That the secret of success in spiritual life, the satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master. Prabhupada's whole existence was based upon that. How will I please my spiritual master? And that's what he taught us also. And those who are following, they remain strong. And others, they become wishy-washy, offensive, useless.
How about this Krishna consciousness and Christianity?
That book is not too bad. It's for a Christian, maybe it's okay.
It's too many, too much for Christianity.
Well, no, it's not really, because it presents the Krishna consciousness, the fulfillment. Yeah, actually, Bhaktisiddhanta Sacharya Thakur used to say that Krishna consciousness is extended Christianity. In other words, whatever is in Christianity is there in Krishna consciousness, but it's full, complete. Just like Christians, they say love God. Now, who is God and how to love Him? No idea. Only they say. So it's extended Christianity. He doesn't, of course, Prabhupada's approach in dealing with Christians, he would only come to one point. That why are you killing? The Bible says thou shalt not kill. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, you should follow what the Bible says. And he wouldn't go beyond that. Unless they accepted that, he refused to discuss anything else. That book, Satyajit, has shown that actually that reincarnation, vegetarianism, that's all in original Christianity, but it's been edited up. So, it has some value. There's some speculations in there, something about falling down from the spiritual world, something about
I don't want to count them exactly. Some funny things. But basically that book's not too bad. But some of the books he did afterwards. I don't know. Anyway, Hare Krishna. All right, Hare Krishna.